Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The second blockbuster decision this week from the Supreme Court. The justices voting 5-4 to block President Trump's move to end the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program. Hello, everyone. I'm David Chalian, the CNN political director. This is the Daily DC. The court today preserved the Obama-era initiative that protects from deportation nearly 700,000 young undocumented immigrants who came to the United States as children.
I was born in Mexico, but I'm American at heart. This is my home.
It opened the doors for me to be able to do a lot more with my life. So in 2014, I opened my first business and now employ 7 full-time employees.
English is the language I know. Tell me to write an essay in Spanish. I can't.
My mom was trying to give me a better life by bringing me here. So what kind of sin is that? Any parent would do that.
The program has strict requirements. Applicants must have arrived in the U.S. before they were 16 years old, go through a criminal background check, as well as be in school, have graduated, or be an honorably discharged veteran. An estimated 29,000 DACA recipients are healthcare workers. Their average age is 26, and they pay an estimated $1.7 billion a year in taxes. A far cry from the people the president once described on Twitter as, quote, no longer very young, are far from angels, some are very tough, hardened criminals. But DACA has been a politically charged program since its inception, and no one has flipped his position more than the president. From vowing to end it during his 2016 campaign to telling DACA recipients shortly after his inauguration they shouldn't be worried.
They shouldn't be very worried. They are here illegally. They shouldn't be very worried. I do have a big heart.
Ultimately, DACA was a bargaining chip for the president in his quest for a border wall and strengthened immigration laws. In the end, he moved to end the program after negotiations on the wall broke down. The man who created DACA, President Obama, tweeted about the court's decision this morning, writing, quote, 8 years ago this week, we protected young people who were raised as part of our American family from deportation. Today, I'm happy for them, their families, and all of us. While President Trump offered a different musing, writing on Twitter, quote, do you get the impression that the Supreme Court doesn't like me? So joining me now to break down this ruling is CNN legal analyst and Supreme Court biographer Joan Biskupic, who recently wrote a biography on Chief Justice John Roberts. Joan, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Joan, this is yet another major ruling today. It's one actually that's been years in the making. Can you just, before we delve into what the Supreme Court said today, can you just give us some context? It's been 8 years since President Obama initially unveiled this program. What is the sort of history of the legal battle here to bring us to this moment?
That's a great question, because you're right. This all began in 2012 when the Obama administration rolled out something known as DACA, Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals. It applied to young people who had been brought here without proper papers, you know, through no fault of their own, and had grown up. And they were at this point in 2012, they had to be under age 31 and have lived in the U.S. since 2007 and were students, completed high school, had, you know, not been involved in any serious crimes. So it was a program that acknowledged that there were many, many people here. It turns out to be, you know, about 700,000 young people who were actively contributing to society, but always under the threat of deportation and not being able to work. The program continues to operate while President Obama is in office. When President Trump comes to office, he declares in 2017 that his administration wants to wind down this program and that they start to announce this phase out. Well, California, New York, and other states, along with the regents of the University of California and immigrant rights groups, challenged this, saying that you might have authority to do this, but you have not followed federal procedures for phasing out the program at all. And a new element has come, David, and that involves the COVID-19 pandemic. It's further heightened the consequences for all these DACA beneficiaries. There was always this question of young people relying on this program and the potential hardships they might suffer if this program was phased out. And it was accelerated by the fact that, you know, a lot of healthcare providers happen to be DACA recipients performing essential work. So that gets us to this moment where the Supreme Court takes up this challenge, not to sort of the fundamental question of, is it a good program to have, a bad program to have, but rather, can the Trump administration, Department of Homeland Security, rescind this program the way it did and have it essentially evaporate in upcoming months? And what Chief Justice John Roberts wrote on behalf of the majority is that everyone agrees that the administration has the power to do it. But the question is, did they follow the procedure the agency was supposed to follow? And they did not.
So, you know, I want you to hear a little bit of what President Trump promised on the campaign trail in 2016 when he said that he was going to get rid of this program. Here was then candidate Trump.
We will immediately terminate President Obama's two illegal executive amnesties in which he defied federal law and the Constitution to give amnesty to approximately 5 million illegal immigrants. 5 million.
So, Joan, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that the court today did not rule on whether or not DACA is a constitutional program, whether or not President Obama exceeded executive authority the way that then-candidate Trump's called it illegal executive amnesty. None of that was actually decided here. You're saying it was just on the process and procedures by which they were trying to rescind the program?
That's exactly right, because it is in the discretion of an administration to establish immigration priorities. And what President Obama had said back in 2012 is, we don't want it to be a priority to get rid of these young people. These people are contributing to society. We're not going to make it a priority. And the Obama administration asserted that it had such authority to do that. Trump comes in and his administration says, okay, we're deciding that we have the discretion to end it. And Roberts did not challenge that. Roberts did not say you do not have the authority to end it, but there's a question about proper procedures. And federal law says you cannot arbitrarily and capriciously change policy. And what it said right here is that the attorney general, at the time it was Jeff Sessions, working with an acting secretary of Homeland Security at the time, you know, that they just failed to meet the procedures in the way they should do it. And that was what was at issue here.
So then what does the administration, now dealing with the ruling the way the Supreme Court ruled, what does the administration need to do to sort of course correct here?
Okay, the administration can go back and look at the problem and figure out how to end the program, but also look at what kind of hardship might be caused for certain individuals. It has to follow certain rules and procedures that are laid out essentially in a roadmap the Chief Justice and those in the majority established. Now, the big question, though, David, is, you know, what this does shortly before the election. The administration can start to try to wind down the DACA program with valid reasons, but these things will take time. And now, you know, you've had this kind of ringing endorsement and a sigh of relief from so many recipients and people who count on the DACA program and who are beneficiaries of the program, that I think it's going to be so much more complicated to be able to pull it off. You know, we've already seen the tweets from President Trump about it, but we've also seen former Vice President Joe Biden, who will be running against him, you know, enthusiastically endorse what the Supreme Court did. And certainly he's ready to continue this program if he wins the White House.
And we'll be back with much more from legal analyst Joan Biskupic. We're back with Joan Biskupic. Now, the dissenters on the Supreme Court saw pure politics at play here. Clarence Thomas wrote in his dissent, quote, "Today's decision must be recognized for what it is, an effort to avoid a politically controversial but legally correct decision." I mean, that sounds like Clarence Thomas telling Chief Justice John Roberts, stop worrying about putting your finger into the political winds.
Well, and it's so funny that he writes that because John Roberts is taking the opposite tact, saying, this isn't something for judges to decide. This is a matter for policymakers. He wants everyone to stay in their respective lanes. And he said, in this case, the executive branch can follow through with this. It just has to do it properly. In some ways, David, this ruling today recalls two prior decisions that John Roberts had a strong hand in. The most recent one that I know you remember well came last year when John Roberts cast the decisive fifth vote to stop the Trump administration from putting a citizenship question on the 2020 census. And just as he did today, back then he said, the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, has authority to add a citizenship question to the census. But the way he did it was flawed. He made up reasons for why he had to do it. You might recall that he said it had to be added to enforce the Voting Rights Act. And the same thing here. John Roberts is not saying that judges are going to take over this immigration dispute. What he's saying 100% is that any administration has leeway to act here, but what he's saying, it has to follow the proper procedures. And then what this also definitely recalls is John Roberts' key vote in 2012 to uphold one of President Obama's truly signature initiatives, the Affordable Care Act.
Of course. I hear what you're saying, and I have no doubt you are correctly reporting precisely how John Roberts is viewing the legal reasoning behind those decisions that you just cited. But since you literally wrote the book on John Roberts, I want to ask, like, it is not going to be unaware to John Roberts that he is going to be perceived here yet again as perhaps not as reliably a conservative vote as many Republicans thought, as certainly Donald Trump thought, who is now tweeting about the need to get more justices on the Supreme Court. The president supposedly has a 5-4 conservative-leaning majority, and he's simply saying that's not sufficient given where John Roberts is coming down on some of these decisions.
Well, and one thing I want to reinforce to our listeners, this is still a very conservative Supreme Court. We've had two exceptions this week, and we might have others before the session is over in early July. But I want to stress that this court still narrowly reads individual rights and liberties and still narrowly construes the benefits of statutes as a, you know, typical matter. You know, as you know, David, John Roberts also wrote the Shelby County versus Holder ruling of 2013, which reined in the Voting Rights Act. This court also gave us Citizens United, which lifted regulation of, you know, corporate money in elections. So no one should be mistaken about the fact that this is still a conservative court. But it's not going to follow the dictates of a Trump administration that's constantly pushing extreme legal positions. In this one, the administration did not fulfill the responsibility of a statute. It was clear, at least to the majority, and Clarence Thomas can protest it what he wants, but he's in dissent. And then just to pick up on the other one that President Trump has complained about, actually, President Trump didn't complain that much about Monday's decision expanding rights for gay and transgender workers, but, you know, plenty of Republicans did. Now, that decision came at the hands of Neil Gorsuch, President Trump's first appointee. And it was a bit of a one-off, I have to say. It was because of the way the statute could be interpreted under a textualist reading that Justice Neil Gorsuch is known for. That victory came about for gay, lesbian, and transgender employees and over complaints of the Trump administration, which had actually argued that the statute should be far more narrowly construed. So I think you can look at themes in this, David. Look at how the Trump administration has been beat back in certain areas. And as I said, I think we'll see more of it coming up. But across the board, this is still a conservative court. It's just that it's not going to go as far to the right wing as Donald Trump wants.
There's no doubt about that. And you are right. He was rather muted, the president, in his response to the decision earlier in the week around LGBTQ workers and employees. Although today, with this decision coming, sort of compounding that other decision earlier in the week, Joan, he did tweet, quote, "These horrible and politically charged decisions coming out of the Supreme Court are shotgun blasts into the face of people that are proud to call themselves Republicans or conservatives." That's when he went on to call for more justices. So he does seem to be suggesting the plural, multiple rulings that all of a sudden he seems very displeased with, not so muted anymore.
That's right. And this one hits him where he lives. Look who wins in this one. Obama supporters, Obama people who started this program. You know, we know what drives this president in terms of his animosities. And, you know, Mondays might not have bothered him as much, but this one is a ruling that favors one of his enemies, and that's got to get to him.
Also on one of the signature issues, immigration related, brought him.
Can I just mention that on the immigration one? What people should also recognize is this court has generally supported Trump's immigration initiatives. You know, just back in 2018, John Roberts wrote the majority opinion upholding Donald Trump's travel ban on majority Muslim countries. So he's won. He's won on, you know, some things having to do with the wall at the southern border. The Trump administration also won earlier this term in terms of some rules for green card applicants who might be relying on public benefits. So there are all sorts of ways that this Trump administration has gotten plenty. It just has not gotten every single thing it wants.
Joan Biskupic, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
And a special thanks to our listeners as well. Remember, we publish a new episode every weeknight, so please subscribe on your favorite podcast app. While you're there, consider leaving a rating or a comment. It helps people find the show. And if you want to tweet about this podcast, please do so using the hashtag TheDailyDC. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you tomorrow.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.